beyond our
Mouth is the mouth of Sauron. Come get your rings of power.
Right, great. Welcome. Mouth of Sauron podcast, episode 2. Very, very exciting. Welcome, Ash. Welcome, Mike.
Welcome.
Both happy to be here, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Very happy to be here.
Yep. Good. Very happy.
Good. Jim, Deej, behind the stuff today, camera and stuff.
Glad to be back.
Great. Yeah. Really glad to be back. Good reaction. You know, how's it feel to be, you know, famous now, boys? Great reaction.
Well, to the... couple of hundred people that listened. It was great.
Yeah. You probably know a bit better than we do, Jim. Where are we at with views and likes and all that?
We're pushing 1,000 on YouTube.
Quadruple figures.
By 1,000, I mean.
Quadruple figures.
Not 1,000. And we've had some good bits from Spotify and Amazon. I don't want to say the number out loud because it would depress
me. Yeah. Well, look, maybe... Okay.
A good innings.
Maybe exaggerating a bit. But genuinely, like, if you have viewed us or liked us or subscribed, like, thanks a lot. You know, really, really good
reaction. Tell your friends about it.
Tell your friends about it, all that. Yeah, it's been nice, some of the response we've received. So, yeah, let's just keep going, you know? There's a clamour now, fellas. So, So, episode 2... obviously last time it was a bit more kind of introductory, a little bit more sort of what we're going to expect, a bit more anticipation, exactly, and conjecture. So yeah, we'll try and get into a bit more specifics this time. So we're going to be looking specifically at the race of men, the race of elves, the race of dwarfs, and what we already know went on in the second age from those races, but also what we think the show might go with or leave out and that kind of thing.
Kind of glossed over most of it last episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a bit more deep dive.
Yeah. So that's what we'll do. So I think, like, let's just dive right in. If we start with men, the race of men, Mike. Yep. Very quick overview, please. Very quick overview. The race of men in the second age.
So the race of men, they were basically gifted a land, Numenor, for their help in the War of Wrath, defeating Melkor or Morgoth. But there is another. There is men already established on Middle-earth called Middlemen. So basically, the second age is basically Numenor coming over to Middle-earth, populating it with Gondor, Arnor, making friends of the elves, Gil-galad.
Yeah, it's seen as like a very glorious age, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, but it does lead to their downfall eventually. So, okay. But we'll get into that later, I guess.
Yeah, plenty to get stuck into there in a bit more detail in a bit. Ash, dwarves.
The good thing, like, not tons are known about them, but essentially, you know, there a lot of them are fleeing. The downfall of the sinking of Blair and everything like that, and then establishing some of the great halls and, you know, places that we know, and like sort of rings of power and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Be good to, like, we'll chat about this in a bit more detail later on, but be good to, like, speculate a bit about whether we're going to see those seven dwarven factions. Mm.
Yeah, they are very, very interested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to dive
into that. Because, do you know, I don't know as much in my mind about, like, the difference of first age dwarves and second age dwarves. I just don't know a lot about that.
No, I'm so vague, like,
yeah.
I'm not good with dwarves.
No. But I know, like, for instance, Khazad Dûm is, like, very well established.
I'm no Snow White.
Okay. Fine. And then, yeah, lastly, back to you, Mike, for... elves.
So, pretty similar to the dwarves, really. After the War of Wrath, Beleriand kind of disappeared into the ocean. So they're just establishing new colonies in Middle-earth, really. So they've got Lindon, Eregion. Is that how you pronounce it? Eregion?
I always go for a hard G there. Eregion.
Eregion.
But I don't actually know.
I go Eregion.
You go Eregion.
Oh, so I'm trying to make it sound more like elf-like.
I'll go Ereshkigal. Give a little respect.
Ereshkigal.
Right, the band.
The band, yeah.
Yeah. It's a reach. Sorry. It's a real reach.
That one was lost on me. Okay, cool.
I personally feel
like the elves sort of step off the gas a little bit in the second age. Maybe I'm wrong there, but yeah, it feels like first age, elves is like, it's us versus evil.
I think first age elves, I think second age is the kind of the beginning of the dominance of men, really. It's kind of like,
yeah.
And then the third age is the time for men, isn't it? So, yeah. So I think this is like the beginning of the end of the elves.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because if you look at sort of like everything you're saying there with the establishment of Numenor, you'd think that the second age, well, maybe I suppose it was meant to be the age of men, and then it breaks down.
I think that's what, we can get into this a bit later, I guess, but God, Ilúvatar, basically has gifted elves with mortal life and men not, but they said you'll get something else, you'll get something greater at the end of it, if you know what I mean. But obviously men can't see that. So I think that's where the bitterness comes from Numenor and everything. So it's kind of like, I think it was the elves are coming back home and you're going to be left Middle Earth. So
yeah,
make the most of it, kind of. But
what's interesting is we all know that it ends with, I mean, we know this from the films, it ends with the last alliance of all those three races.
Yeah.
Men and elves mainly, but also dwarves, you know, help out, and they obviously do their thing against Sauron. So really, I guess, loosely, very, very loosely, I'm compressing an entire age here into a sentence, but you've got three different races who aren't particularly tight, and it ends with the last alliance of those three races against Sauron. So they come together, basically, which is
I think that has to be what the show is going to be about.
Generally, that's what it will be about. It's
going to be about all these races finding a way to work together and come together to defeat the Sultan of Power.
So within this, I'm going to go back to our old friend, the Vanity Fair article.
Yeah.
Quote, in the novels, things take place over thousands of years, but Payne and McKay, the showrunners, have compressed events into a single point in time. It's their biggest deviation from the text, and they know it's a big swing. So that's what we're going to sort of have a little play with today, like see if we can almost have a guess at what they're going to compress, how they're going to compress, and almost try and identify that single point in time. So again, just going back to some of the things we know already, Second Age is about 3,500 years long. That's a long time to try and compress.
That is very long.
So what are they going to do?
Do we know they've got five seasons already penciled in?
I don't know why I've got that in my head. I don't know if I've made that up.
I think there is five seasons for sure.
Wow.
I think so.
Yeah, I think...
So that's...
It's definitely been confirmed that there will be five seasons. Yeah. The only thing that worries me there is...
But then...
Just confirm how many seasons it's going to be, so then I know that you've written the whole story and we're not going to get into a bit where we're making a go along. Like, another season!
I think because it's... Because they haven't... They must have a beginning, middle and end to this already in place, on a board, written in their office. This is what we're working towards. And we know what they're working towards anyway.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's odd because they do have the established storyline that they know where it's going to end up. They can't change that bit.
But it's how they get from year one, Second Age, to year 3,441, telling the whole story.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to work out.
That's what we're going to have a go at, like a sort of establishing today, or trying to establish. So we've made a couple notes on our plan there that you've got people like Galadriel, Gil-galad, certain elves that are alive for the entirety of the Second Age. You've got certain men that we know have already been cast that aren't alive for the entirety of the Second Age.
So that
would suggest like a elongating of men's lives. Not a shortening, but a kind of just... I don't know. I don't know how much Tolkien years will matter, really.
Well, are we thinking then? So if I would say it's going to start with a flashback towards what happened before in the First Age, the fallout from that, probably Galadriel telling this, going to be like a flashback episode, and then it's going to get, say, since then, this has happened.
Yep.
And then they'll kind of skip over the next 3,000 years in a kind of story as flashbacks. We'll join it when Isildur and Elendil are there around.
I don't think it will go that way. I think you're right in that they will probably dedicate the first episode or two to a flashback.
Mm.
This seems like a good point to dive into a bit of a deeper discussion on men.
Mm-hmm.
First question for you, Mike. Do you think that we will see the rise of Numenor, or do you think we will come straight in on a very well-established Numenor at the height of its power?
I think it will be a kind of opening, like in Lord of the Rings, where it's how they talk about the creation of the One Rings, but it'll be that bit about the First Age.
Okay.
We won't see it rise from the... It'll be,
but we'll see a montage-type situation. It'll be a
montage-type thing.
That will be...
Or an episode, yeah, kind of loosely doing it. Yeah. Because we've got Elrond's brother. He's the first king of Numenor. He's
not been cast yet.
Has he not been cast?
To our knowledge.
Oh.
Unless I've
missed something.
I hope he's not in it.
But that's what I mean. But I think he might be in it, just to say, like...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why do you want Elrond not to be in it?
Because...
Elrond is in it.
Yeah, no, Elrond... But because Elrond... If we're talking about Numenor being at like the height of its power, well then like he probably shouldn't be there.
No, he won't be.
In terms of the way the actual story works, I mean it's just likely we're going to come in a point where Arathorn's on the throne. Right? Yeah,
should we talk about who these people are? Then?
Well, yeah, I think we should. But that for me is, I think we almost have conflicting views there then, because I want to see the rise of Numenor. I don't. Bear in mind, we just said that we're expecting 5 seasons. I don't want to see Alfarazon until season 3.
Yeah,
I want to see Elros for the entirety of season 1. Elros was the first king of Numenor.
Why
are we starting with Alfarazon, the last king of Numenor, in season 1?
Well, because he done the best things.
Yeah, but you're spunking your load too early. Like, I know we said we're going to compress things, but let's not...
I know, but he lives for like...
Sorry.
Doesn't he live for like 500 years off Arathorn?
The longest man to reign was Elros. He had the longest reign and he lived to the eldest, but because he chose to be a mortal rather than an elf.
Okay, so look, I'll go back to you, Mike. You've picked out already four or five guys that you think are worth being in there. Tell me who they are and tell me why you think they're should be featured.
We've got Elros. He was the first known king. He was the first king.
Yep.
Established it. He's Elrond's brother. We know Elrond's in there.
Yep.
So he's quite important. Then we've got Tar Minister, who I believe was the 11th. He sends ships over, I believe, to help Gil-galad in a fight between elves and Sauron. And that's got to be in it, really.
Because
That would just be great, wouldn't it? A war between... With Sauron marching on...
Yeah, Lindon, brilliant.
Actually, the dwarves actually help out in that war as well.
Yeah.
So that's got all of the key ingredients, just things. But he was the 11th. So that's thousands. That's about over 1,000 years between Elros and him. So
you're missing out 10 kings.
Yeah. This could be a king a season. And this, they could just say, all right, well, that's how they're compressing the timeline here. They're going, they're just putting these kings in order. So they'll go, all right, when Elros dies, this guy takes over. And this happens in that series. This is that's the thing of that series. The next one, Tar and Kilimon. He first started the divide. His was the first kind of one to divide from Kingsmen to the faithful. So he was saying, I don't want to worship the gods anymore, really. Yeah. I think we should do our own thing.
Okay, so give our viewers a little bit more detail there, please. What divide? What are you talking about?
So this Tar Ankilimon, sorry, I'm probably not butchering how to say it. But
Ankilimon.
He was, I believe he's the 14th king. And when he came into succession, he was started policies that went further led to the downfall of Numenor. So he become bitter, embittered with the elves and the Valar for having immortal lives and stuff. So he started worshipping themselves, basically.
Yeah. Mm. It wasn't necessarily like a turn to evil.
So it's
which
yeah.
is a rejection.
It was a rejection of the gods.
Okay.
But, so then there's other Numenoreans, which yep. we'll get into come along later. Elendil, Isildur.
Mm.
They were the faithful. So they okay. still worship the gods.
So let me ask you this in that case. If, and I think that that's a brilliant part of the story, the fact that there's a Numenorean king who starts to move away from the gods
yeah.
and says, no, actually, we're jealous of their eternal life. We want that.
Yeah.
And actually starts to, that's an amazing storyline.
Mm.
They can't, they should include that. They well, should
think,
include.
So
that.
I think it will.
But then also for that to have an impact, we need to know who the gods are. We need to know what that deal was. We need to know the fact that they were given Numenor as a reward for the War of Wrath.
Yeah.
So that presents a whole other. But aspect I mean, of
and
what
these
we might see.
These guys in Numenor don't they do live a very long time, like an incredibly long time. So
yeah,
and they're like 8 foot tall, which is mental as well. I wonder if they're actually going to show how. Because I'm sure Elendil is called Elendil Tall. He's about 8 foot.
A slight aside, how tall is a dwarf in Middle-earth?
I think he's about 4 foot.
They're smaller. They're like three foot.
How tall's a hobbit?
About 3 foot. They're not much taller than a hobbit, are they?
Really?
No, dwarfs aren't.
How tall's a dwarf? Yeah. They're like 4 or 5 foot. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure they got up to 5. I think the tallest dwarf ever is about 5 foot.
What a claim.
So, got a fact check for you here.
Fact check, Deej.
How tall are the race of Lord of the Rings? Dwarves are said to be an average 4 to 5 feet, which is 122 to 152 centimetres.
Yeah. A 5 foot man.
And hobbits.
Always measure in centimetres.
Hobbits, 3 to 4.
Halflings, yeah. Half of 6 foot on average.
So, a dwarf stood next to an 8 foot or a 7 foot something Numenorean is going to look ridiculous.
That's going to look brilliant, those visuals.
Yeah. Mm. It's going to be very tricky for the department.
Okay, so look, let me try and move this on then. So, I'm going to ask you, Elros, do you think we see him? Yes or no?
I think we see him, but I don't think he's going to be an actual character. I think he's going to be talked about, but as like.
Potentially Elros, a flashback, but.
He'll be mentioned. I think he'll be by Elrond like, what are you doing over there? My brother built this beautiful place for you and you're ruining it and you're going against his morals and his beliefs.
You can almost picture and hear that opening narration over the top that is like, and men were gifted an island off the coast.
Yeah, off the coast.
That made it rubbish in the end.
You're making it sound like a travel show.
Yeah. I was trying to do a Galadriel, but I just couldn't get the words out.
Yeah, so anyway, so we've got one more person to talk about, which is Farazom.
Yeah. Yep.
So he took what Tar and Kilimon done and takes it to the extreme. But he went over to Middle-earth, basically flexed his muscles against Sauron, and then the rest is history. That is the big downfall. But that the divide that come from the man before is the one that he goes with hardcore, which really leads to the downfall.
Isn't it that he...
So they could, in theory, merge them two
people into one. I'm going to put it out there. I don't want to see Farazon until season 3 or 4.
He could like...
And I basically already know that he's been cast.
But I reckon my personal opinion is that they're going to have all these people in, or one or two of them, or merge a couple of them together. But these are the points they're going to be going through. This is what we're going to see on Numenor, basically. This politics.
But I think a lot more happens after he's...
Because he usurps... He usurps, actually, Farazon. His own cousin. And marries her incestuously.
He does marry his cousin, doesn't he?
So, I mean, he's a great character.
He's like the sickest Numenorean ever.
Yeah.
Goes over and... Sauron doesn't even fight him, does he? He just goes, your army is huge! And just goes, I lay at your feet. And then obviously gets in his bloody...
Yeah, so...
Sauron submits to
He sees the power of his army and just goes, nah,
actually,
not having it.
Sauron's army actually just goes, nah.
That's got to be, for me, that's got to be like a season 3 or 4...
That has to be.
...type deal. I see that in season 1, I'm going to be like...
To be fair, reading all these kings and their stories is... like really whet my appetite for this series, because if they start pulling some of these wars out and some of these, we're going to be in for the greatest battle scenes.
Yeah,
there's so many brilliant battles to yeah. that happen throughout this age. So, and it'd be rubbish if they didn't include them all, because some of them are going to be so... I've got one to talk about when we do the dwarves, but...
We'll get into them. Maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like to me what we're saying is we might see... The way that they might choose to compress things is that they'll say, like, the King of Numenor is a position, and they'll just sort of merge different kings
into
and make the... Even if it wasn't a particular king that started a breakaway or raised a particular army, they'll just say that this is what the King of Numenor did at this time, which is a shame. And that will really, really rile some hardcores.
I don't think they'll do that.
Don't?
They know better than to do that. They're not going to be rolling up characters into one.
Well, I think it's going to... They're going to have more than one, because they're either going to jump straight to the end of it, where all the action happens, or...
Build up.
They're going to have to just build it up through three or four kings before the final one.
Don't forget, they've got the device of just literally cutting huge swathes of time out whenever they like.
And so
what you were saying was... Then they're going to lose characters that the audience fall in love with, right? But
yeah,
but that's kind of what makes a good series nowadays, though, isn't it? That's the kind of big thing since Game of Thrones done it.
Yeah, like
people you love will go.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that just knowing that we're in that sort of age of film and television where your favorite can die, just adds to the suspense and of the drama, doesn't it?
Makes it more exciting. So,
okay, very interesting. Mm. Very interesting.
Mm.
Let's move on to talk about dwarves.
Yeah.
In the same way that Mike has just given us some detail there. Ash, go for it. What do you think? Where are we going to start? At what point do you think we'll come in? Who's going to be, you know, we know of certain castings already. Just tell me what you think.
Well, I think, you know, going back to my... excellent narration. I think you can
let's not talk about it.
I think we'll have
try it again actually.
And the dwarf men fled their homes.
I can't believe they've not come to you for this for this casting.
I think they'll obviously in this whatever this opening, if it is an episode or two, or if it is just an excellent narration by me, it will be them basically showing that they had to flee Beleriand. And then I think it's important to say that there isn't tons of information about the dwarves, is there? Especially in like that second age. And just in general, I think they're the least explored characters.
Do you think, sorry to cut in, but do you think that is a... Tolkien did that on purpose, right? They are a sort of withdrawn people.
Yeah, it's an easy thing for him to get away with, like just not writing about them.
Yeah, they're
like,
not.
Well, you know about them because they lived in caves and
dwelt
down in mountains, so no one knows about it.
A very secret people.
So, where do you think we're going to be based? They're going to be based.
Well, the only place for it's all going to happen out of Khazad Dûm, right? Mm-hmm. We just know that it was the best place for like the dwarves at the time, but not only that, sort of I'm staring geography wise.
Yeah,
we're in there, aren't we?
Yeah, we're in there. Like it kind of is at the heart of everything that's going on. Mm. Like you can everybody has to go through there, and if you want to go through the mountains, like that's really the only safe way through, other than going all the way around. So like it is this hub of activity.
Mm.
So I think and what are we going to see? Like, oh no, there's a different dwarf kingdom, and I can tell. No, the viewer's going to have to be like, oh, there's one place it's happening.
Yeah.
It's certainly going to be Khazad Dûm. And that's also just where loads of really brilliant things happen.
Yes.
In the age. So we've got the Durins that we're going to see. I think we're going to see two.
Yeah, I think that's been confirmed now, isn't it?
Yeah, like they've only cast.
Father and son, you mean?
Durin the Fourth. I think they're going to do that. And actually, do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. I was getting quite annoyed about how the Durin's, you know, because it has to be, oh, he is a Durin. We know that, you know, and it doesn't.
A reincarnation.
Reincarnation. He'll be reincarnated seven times.
Like, how you pick a Durin is how, like, the Dalai Lama's chosen. Is that how the Dalai Lama's chosen, is it?
they find a boy, don't they? They say that is him.
So that's kind of what they do.
Not only does he look like him,
isn't that
like
how
him.
They choose the Dalai Lama?
I'm pretty sure. I think, yeah. I could be very wrong again. Yeah. It could be Rolf Tolkien.
In fact, they find a boy, don't they? But yeah, so that we'll definitely see two Durins. I think they'll play with that storyline in a really interesting way. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a little bit cringy because I reckon it'll be that he is his son.
Yeah.
And they go, because he's not a Durin. And then at the end, it'll be like, he is a Durin because he acts like a Durin. Right, it might be a little bit cringy, something like that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that in the novels, it's essentially like if they just are a Durin. A Durin is almost a thing.
Well, there was Durin the First.
You have to look like him.
Yeah.
You have to be like him.
Yeah.
It's funny you have to look like him.
Yeah.
Well, they thought he'd be reincarnated seven times.
Dijon's trying to catch my eye over there. What you got for me, Dijon?
No, I was just going to ask, what does it take to be a Durin? What have you got to be? Do you have particularly favourite food?
I think so.
I be one?
So yeah. I think weirdly you have to look like him a bit. And I don't know when that happens. Like, is that as a baby? You're like,
bloody hell, he looks
comes
like
out looking like a fully grown man, yeah.
Anyone?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, and I think I already know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we will come in on a fully formed Khazad Dûm, or do you think we'll come in on a establishing itself Khazad Dûm, in the same way that I asked Mike that same question about Numenor?
No, I think we're going to come in on a Khazad Dûm at the height of its power.
Mm.
Which I'm fine with.
I hope so. Yeah. That'd be great.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sort of... when I was thinking about this, like, the dwarves, as we keep saying, have got such little written about them that gives them license to make up so much material for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think the dwarves are probably going to be quite a big player because they get to that. We've already seen they're introducing these characters that nobody's heard of, and then they're going to be introducing all these different storylines. They're breaking down the Durin thing, obviously, in a different way. They're going to play around with the dwarves quite a lot.
Yeah, and the writers are going to have fun with that, aren't they?
John? Yeah, and also that's a way to almost shielding themselves from people saying, you're changing the storyline. It's like, no, we were just like telling stuff that hadn't been written about the dwarves. Yeah. And I think they absolutely should do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not
wherever they can, they should.
Yeah, but I think you get some people saying, "Oh, they shouldn't write Tolkien. There's a reason he didn't do it." And it's like, well, come on, like you can have like almost fan fiction about
that's
it.
That's a really interesting thing, actually, in that a lot of the criticism from the hardcores in regard to the men and elf storylines will be like, "Oh, there's so much there. Why are you not including that? Or why are you taking that away? Or why are you butchering that?" With the dwarves, it's like, "Oh, he didn't write so much of it. How dare you?" And write more. How dare you try and give us more? It's like,
but it's fun to explore. Like, if you're a fan, you should be like, oh, maybe it did happen that
way. Well, isn't it in Star Wars, they have like, if it fan fiction is good enough, it gets kind of, is that a thing? I'm pretty sure that's a thing, isn't it?
Is that a thing, Deej?
Yeah, I think it's definitely happened.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of the example.
Well, I think a few of the novels that have been written about Star Wars, they sort of say, you can write the novel, and then if it's like good, they go,
add it to
that,
the canon,
that counts as part of the canon,
I mean, if it's ridiculous, then obviously no. Yeah. But I think they're going to, I have to believe they've got the best writers doing the best job they possibly can do on the best money.
Yeah.
So they're going to do good. I have to believe they're going to do a good job.
I think so.
Yeah, and there's some real key points with the dwarves where they can just, when they're writing towards certain areas that they know are going to happen, right? And filling in those bits are brilliant. Like, a little moment just came to me. So after the sacking of a region, or however we're going to be saying that from that one, we might have to decide.
After
gets sacked, the dwarves come out of Khazad Dûm, and they try and, obviously they help the elves from getting like completely killed, and then they all retreat in, and then at that moment they seal the doors of Durin, and then obviously we see in the films them opening the doors, you know, speak, friend, and enter,
which
and
is nice, really.
That's gonna be wicked.
Be like a wonder if they'll have like Elrond, because Elrond's one of them elves, isn't he?
That he helps into there. Yeah,
So I wonder if he's the one that puts the spell on saying friend, and that'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, Keller Brimble builds those doors.
Mm.
So we'll see him building them earlier on, but they're open.
Because it's after that. That's when Elrond goes and establishes Rivendell, isn't it? Around about that time.
Yes.
After that sacking. Because they all flee.
They flee, yeah.
That's when our boy, what's his name? Tar Minister, that's when he comes over and helps out around that time. So it all does tie in beautifully.
It does. Who is Celebrimbor's dwarven best mate that helps him make the doors?
Forgie?
4G.
Huh? I was going for like a Snow White kind of
thing. Dijon,
his dwarven best mate.
Yeah, he's on it. One? There's Celebrimbor and another dwarf. He's called like. Oh, he's got a funny little name. who built the
doors of Durin?
The doors of Durin. Because it wasn't just Celebrimbor. It wasn't just an elf on his own. They would have been like, what are you doing back here? There was a dwarf.
Leave him, he's building doors.
There was a dwarf he was working with.
Do you want any help there, mate? Nah, you're all right.
The dwarf Narvi.
Narvi.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, sorry.
Narvi. So no, Narvi. Narvi. Yeah, I love him. Great. Happy to see Narvi. Yeah.
A bit good character. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So look, Ash, anything else that you want to say about dwarves? In this particular season, what do you think we're going to see? Anything else? Season one.
Well, I think we're going to see the dwarves not being sold as these little bubbly little men that bounce along on barrels and do all that sort of stuff. I think they're going to be a lot more serious characters.
A bit of venom in your voice.
Having a pop of the Hobbit.
I can't help it.
Having a Hobbit pop.
Any moment I can.
Because they are a deeply like tribal... If you're going to see there's like kind of spirit and their kind of religion, kind of their what they're all about, really. Yeah. And that's a good thing.
Somebody might know, we might have to go to Dijon Mustard over there. There's another dwarven residency towards the top of the Blue Mountains.
Yep. Oh.
Oh, God, what is that called? Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of it off the top of my
head. Barad-dûr? No, that's sorry. I'm talking.
I wonder if we'll see that.
What is it called? What is it called? I can't.
Erid Luin?
No. Could be it. No. No. Maybe we'll have to move on and come back to that.
I'm not being crazy, am I?
I do know what you mean. There is another.
No, there's definitely dwarves in the Blue Mountains. I'm just trying to find the name of the settlement.
I don't think we'll see it.
Really?
No. I think this is going to be. They can't spread.
They got a lot to fucking cover.
It'll be like scraping butter over too much bread.
But also, it's pointless. Like, there's no reason to have two dwarven kingdoms. No. Like, what's the point?
Why the hell not?
Khazad-dûm's going to be.
Just why?
The more dwarves, the merrier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
not necessarily. Again, go back to the whole
location. Eriador.
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 That's it. Yeah,
that's the region, though.
The divisions were the Nogrod and the Belagost, founded by the Firebeards and the Broadbeams. Settlers of the Third Age.
They abandoned those. Beams.
The Broadbeams. Right,
okay. Oh, beams.
Broadbeams.
No,
there. There's another settlement.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
There's another settlement.
All right, well, we'll have to come back to
it. But Ash thinks we'll only see Khazad-dûm, is essentially.
I do too. I agree with Ash. Okay.
And I feel like we just should.
Because there's enough going on.
And
there.
Also, a lot of that is because I want to see all of Khazad-dûm. I want a tour. It's going to be a beautiful bit of cinematography, isn't it?
When did the Balrog take residence in Khazad-dûm?
So far in the future that it will not be included at all.
I think he's always there. He's just having a nap.
You're not going to see him like cameo like, as a prospect buyer. I could do a lot.
I mean,
this place up. Dig a massive hole in the bottom.
No.
They might have like a. What was that?
Do you hear that? sounded like a Balrog. Don't be ridiculous.
Sounds like a massive monster story.
Poltergeist.
No, I don't think we will.
No, I think that's too much.
I don't think we'll see any Balrogs at any point.
No.
We shouldn't. Okay. Listen, we need to move on to a new segment now.
Oh,
I feel like a proper presenter. A new segment for you now, viewers, called The Adventures of Rolf Tolkien.
Oh,
I'm going to hand over to Deej for this because he's so excited. I can see the grin on his face over there. Deej, tell me all about this new segment.
So, for the listeners that listened to episode one, you will have heard part of that where Mike was trying to remember the name of, I think it was the great-grandson or the grandson of Tolkien.
Yep.
And he got very close to it. He went for Rolf Tolkien.
Yep.
But actually, he was actually referring to Roy Tolkien, who does actually appear...
Very close.
In The Lord of the Rings as a ranger of Gondor in Return of the King. So he is actually part of the movie universe as well.
Great.
He was one of the actors. Boy. Yeah, one of the... but yeah, we thought that this was possibly too much of a good sort of opportunity to pass up. And I think what we're going to do with this is it's going to be a regular segment. Rolf Tolkien will feature, you know, once in a while. Small picture thinking, you know, he gets a regular part on the show. Big picture thinking, he becomes part of Lord of the Rings lore and canon. And eventually, you know, you've just got Rolf Tolkien wandering around.
Very unlikely.
Hey, look, if we can get him there.
Get him in the show.
Get him trending. And maybe it could be one of the biggest things to come out of this. But
also he's in charge, isn't he, now? So he would have to say, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll put my mistake of me that you made in it. Okay.
Could happen.
Come on, Rolf.
All right, so go on. Rolf's going to be somewhere this episode, is he?
He's going to be positioned somewhere in Middle-earth.
Okay.
Similar to how we do with Look Spotlight Meets Back on the Menu. You will just have to try and figure out where that place is.
Okay, I'm ready.
I've got a few clues.
Okay.
And with that, I'll give you a line, and then from there you kind of discuss and see what you think. Before I move on to the next clue, of course, maybe each week we'll tally up how many it's taken you to get there.
Very exciting. Okay. Yeah. I feel quite confident with this. I don't want him to give us too much. I want him to... Yeah.
Let's have a think about it, boys.
Okay, yeah. So...
I'll rush into anything stupid.
The first clue is this.
Rivendell.
It was a location that was inspired by the Buckinghamshire village of Brill, which Tolkien visited regularly in his early years at Oxford.
Sorry, can you say that word again? Of where?
Brill.
So, the village of Brill.
Brill.
And it's in Buckinghamshire. Anybody been so to it's Brill? Actually not too far from where we are right now.
Okay, Brill.
Are you thinking of Dale? Is it like Lakey?
Yeah, okay.
Pondy.
Fine. Have we got, how many clues have we got?
I can keep going.
Well, how many have we got in total?
That's one clue.
Yeah, how many have we got in total for?
Oh, about 10.
10 clues?
Yeah. It's quite... Right, it's...
And do we get one guess here?
One guess, yeah.
As a team.
Have a little punt.
And if we lose...
I need more than... It looks like a village I've never gone to.
I've heard of Brill, actually.
Clue number two, please, Dish.
So the name of this place in the Lord of the Rings universe means hill... In Brythonic, a Celtic language referring to the fact that the village and the surrounding lands were centred around a large hill.
Where in Middle Earth is centred around a large hill?
Hobbiton.
Hobbiton.
Shire.
The Shire.
Is he in the Shire? That's going to be so.
Is the Shire centered around a large hill?
I'm going to say this now. If you've gone with the Shire as the first one, I'm going to be really angry.
It's not the Shire.
We haven't guessed. That wasn't our guess. That wasn't our guess.
Good. I was just lulling him into a sense of giving it away. Okay. Clue three, please.
It is the westernmost settlement of men in Middle Earth. So it's the westernmost settlement of men in Middle Earth.
Wow. Okay.
Mm. No looking at the map behind you, please, boys.
What have we got?
Westernmost. So we're taking ourselves to the coast there.
Right. So we've got Rohan's there. So it's not anywhere this way.
It's
going to be near like...
Western settlements are like Grey Havens, but that's Elvish.
It won't be far from Hobbiton.
It's not far from Hobbiton at all. But they're not near. Oh, it'll be... Bree, then.
Point to Michael. Well done.
Yes,
it is Bree.
Very good.
Rolf Tolkien's in Bree this week.
Oh, I want to go to Brill.
So yeah, Brill, it's located Brill. East of the Shire, yep. And south of Fornost and Eriador. From the Brandywine Bridge, it is roughly a 3-day walk. A village of men and hobbits is about 1.5 miles in diameter. The village was bordered on the northern side by a hedge that was essentially a great semicircle that protected the town. So I thought this was very similar to the hedges in Scotland. Scotland are famed for having the world's largest hedges.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I have never heard that. Yeah, so in my
they're
life.
Famed for it. It's not very good reputation.
And if there's any Scottish people listening, please comment.
But I think that's really interesting because, you know, Bree really know. Was based on this small village in Buckinghamshire. And I believe the Prancing Pony as well was based on a pub that Tolkien visited quite a lot. And I think it's just really cool that he's tried to put these sort of real-world places into Middle-earth. But
maybe we should do like a series of us travelling around to all these places that Rolf Tolkien, leave a picture of Rolf somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I don't have a son or a job. It's got to do that.
Mike, well done there. So, actually, you are now past the mantle to figure out where next Rolf Tolkien will be taking his journey. So next time we try and figure out the adventures and where is Rolf Tolkien, Michael will be the one to choose his location.
Lovely.
Just before we cut to the break, Deej, can you say the adventures of where is Rolf Tolkien in a sort of way that's impressive for the listeners?
Actually, I actually thought this was very similar to the comic book series and cartoon show Where's Wally? So I came up with a bit of a theme tune, very similar to the opening credit to Where's Wally, which goes a little bit like this. Where's Rolf Tolkien? Rolf Tolkien! Where's Rolf Tolkien?
He made eye contact with me when he did that.
Okay, so final discussion point, I think. We're going to look at elves in the Second Age. What can we expect? What will we see? What are we excited about? What will they cut out? What are they going to include? What are they going to compress?
Yeah.
All of that. So I think we're all pretty much in agreement that the elves are going to be, well, they just are very well established by Second Age. There's not going to be any, like, you know, certain realms in the same way that men and dwarves might be rising. It's going to be, here we go. So yeah, I mean, from my point of view, I don't know what you guys think, but it's going to be, I almost feel like the elves might be the central thread of everything.
Wait, yeah. Yeah.
In the same way that they kind of are just anyway in Tolkien's writings, they might be that within the show. I think a lot of things are going to come back to what do the elves think of this, or how are the elves going to react to this, or that kind of thing. Is that how you guys see it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
You got to remember, this is called the Rings of Power, and they are made by Celebrimbor, who is an elf, and almost everything's going to go, you know, that's a, wherever that comes, you know, third, fourth, fifth, where will they end up, whether. But it's all heading towards Celebrimbor building these.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this then. In the same way that, so we just said a minute ago that dwarves, not a lot to go on. The showrunners and the writers are going to have quite a lot of license to, like, fill in some blanks.
Yeah.
With men, it seems like actually what they're going to have to do is cut and crop a lot of stuff out.
Because, like I said, I don't think they're going to be mucking with the ages of the elves. I don't think they're going to be doing it.
Well, that's the thing.
They're going to just be evergreen.
So with the elves, they've almost got a harder job in the... They're going to have to cut out a lot more, aren't they? Because
but they're just going to compress what they've done over thousands of years into maybe 100.
I do get that impression. I think they'll actually not cut out that much, but they'll just compress a lot of what they do.
Yeah, into, I think so. I think rather than they're just going to, because realistically, you have to.
Yeah.
So
but also, surely there's going to be some time hops, like just the.
But they can, because dwarves can pretty show, much live forever.
Yeah,
and the elves pretty much do, so they can. If there's a storyline involving them, they can just jump it. But then, what do you do with the men? I guess. Oh, they have going to have two conflicting storylines going on. One kind of about men, and then
what, like you're saying, so they, when for to see the elf characters,
they could gonna be some flashbacks. Elf characters that don't have anything to do with the people of Numenor whatsoever, and that way they can keep the two storylines separate.
Yeah, I think that again we need to separate this into two sections. I think a lot of what's been written about, I'm going to have a little guess here, the Noldor elves, your Galadriels, your Cerdans, your Curdan, sorry, those guys, Gil-galad, that has been written. We know from little bits we've seen that there are like some wood elves.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of that hasn't been written. You know, I think in the same way that we just spoke about a minute ago about the dwarves being quite reclusive, I think some of those factions of elves that aren't really like West Coast elves.
Do we think they're going to be Greenwood elves then? Are we going to go into like Thranduil and his father? Are we going to have them, do you think? Because that would be quite cool characters. And they were involved in the Last Alliance.
Yeah, I think they'll have a bit of creative license.
What's
there.
What's his name? Olathur.
Yeah, I think they'll have a bit of creative license there. I think then we might see a weird bit of like, almost like oppression of the wood elves in a weird way, which would be quite interesting, I suppose, to see.
That'd be real cool.
Yeah.
Are there different factions that fight each other? Like, didn't like each other?
In the elves,
yeah, fought historically, less of each other.
Historically, yeah, there's the kin. It's called the kinslaying.
Like, I don't think there's any. There's no battles between elves.
No, because like that's because you know they're all.
There's a bigger fraction,
and also when they've left Valinor to be here, they're like, we're all going over there. So like they all get along, don't they?
Also, am I wrong in thinking, right? So we see in the trailer. Galadriel coming over Helcaraxis, whatever it is. That happens. That doesn't happen at all. She's already established herself in Lindon, isn't she? The first age, the second age.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to be a flashback.
Is that a flashback or is that her? That's what I mean. I don't really. Well, does we have to have flashbacks? It has to be a flashback.
That has to be a flashback. Or that's where they're making up. That's when they're like completely in the bit where they're making up storylines for well-established characters. I said last time how scared I am about the Galadriel. Like, she's going down and hunting down the last bits of evil. It's like, what? That's going to be jarring.
They could have given that to some other character, really.
Yeah. Any
a really cool made-up elf. Like,
yeah. That stuff is... We know that will happen. The bit... When I saw the trailer in particular, the bit that I was like, oh, I'm genuinely quite excited about that because I know nothing about it, is... I'm really sorry that I don't... Deej, maybe you could look into it. There's another, like, less noble faction of elves.
Sylvan elves.
Is it Sylvan? Sylvan elves, yeah. The Sylvan elves. There's a Sylvan elf in the trailer who's having stuff fired at him and is firing back. And there's another section in that trailer where he's, like, jumping at something... And there's like a chain, like he's been imprisoned around his leg.
But then,
and that those Sylvan elves, I think that could be a really interesting, like oppressed.
Because are they going to go with this? Because when he pulls Galadriel's hair back and exposes her ear as well, are we led to believe that elves are seen as something other than?
I don't think they'll be seen when he pulls her ear back. I think he's like she's been trying to pass herself off as just a nobody, and actually it's like, oh, you're Galadriel.
Oh, maybe yeah. Well, that'd
be good. There's no way that like these people wouldn't know who Galadriel is.
No,
like she's the like basically just the most beautiful thing that's ever existed.
Yeah,
ever. Like that's it, isn't it?
So, and are we going to have her married? Is she going to be? Because is she going to have a baby? Is she going to have a child?
Yeah.
Are we thinking that? Because from I've seen literally 10 seconds of her in a trailer, but it just seems like she hasn't got. A family or a thing. She's just like a badass bitch.
I really hope that they with that character. I just hope that they don't
Galadriel.
With Galadriel. I hope that they're like they're not like corny with the character, and it's like she has to be this completely independent woman. Like
You can have a husband and a kid and still be a badass and go around like doing all that stuff. Like you don't. It doesn't have to be like doesn't need anybody out there on our own. Like
so, Celeborn as well. Not? Is he established? Is he for sure in the show? Do we know that? Her husband is Celeborn, isn't
he? I don't think he has been.
Because he's considered probably one of the wisest elves
ever
of all time as well. So that'd be quite a good character for her to kind of bounce off, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like a really, like,
yeah.
Almost like a Spock-like kind of.
Is it because of the ears? Is
that no, but like very logical thinking and wise and like
yeah.
Loads and, of and we've already seen Celeborn.
We've
already seen him. He was in. It was Lord of the Rings 1 and 3, wasn't it? So he was in The Fellowship and Return of the King.
Yeah, he's on, where's Gandalf? He looks like that.
I think there's actually been something said about that, in that they really dumbed him down for the films, and actually like his sort of elven power is almost equal to
he's
Galadriel.
Crazy.
And so he's been played down a little bit, but he's up there, I think, in terms of...
Oh yeah, they're a complete power couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm speaking out of turn here, chaps, and feel free to, you know, give me a little
go on
flick or punch or something. you don't seem that excited by the elves.
In
the same way that dwarves and men, a minute ago we were speaking about them, like really like, oh wow,
I'm very excited about Gil-galad. I'm very excited about that.
Just him specifically. We've never seen him in any movie.
Yeah, we have.
We have. We saw he was.
You see him in the first like 10 seconds.
You see him in the first 10 seconds of the
first
film.
Okay, fine.
But he's not.
Does he say any words?
No, and you can't even really pick out which one he is, but you know he's there.
He's there. He's in it.
Fine.
But anyway.
Fine.
So him, yes, because he's like.
Specific.
A badass.
Yeah, okay.
So,
fine.
Yeah, and also just like a really. Yeah, look, I think it's not that I'm not excited about the elves. I'm most worried about the elves.
Yeah. Because
like,
this is where they could really fuck it up.
Okay. I'm really excited for Círdan. Círdan?
Yeah.
Círdan.
The shipwright.
Círdan, yeah.
The shipwright. We've already seen him. He's
in the first one. He's in the thing with like whole
And he's in the Return of the King as well. You get a glimpse of him when they're wandering off to the ship. At the end of it.
Grey Havens.
Yeah, that's it. And interestingly, he is the only elf that can grow a beard.
Really?
He's the only elf with facial hair.
Is that sea hair?
But can or has ever bothered?
Has ever... Well, can.
Has ever bothered.
Has ever done it.
Yeah. I'm just going to try it, guys. Crazy sea hair. Don't do it.
Let's clear that up, because that's crazy.
Yeah.
He's actually... He's the only one able to grow a beard, DJ.
Watched Nerd of the Rings the other day, and he states in that video that he is the only elf, that can grow a beard, and he also possesses a ring of power that he apparently hands on to Gandalf.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. We spoke about that last
week. Second thing, great. First thing. Don't give a fuck.
Yeah, zero relevance.
No, I mean, that is interesting.
That's going to be a very, very shit.
That's not going to be in the show.
Yeah, subplot. So about growing a beard.
Yes, I am the only man that can grow, only elf that can grow a beard.
Merchandise.
Allow me to tell you my story. Come sit round about the day I decided I would grow my beard.
Tell you what, Gillette, get one look at that. Gillette, the best Círdan can get.
The best an elf can get, right?
Best an elf can get.
Best an elf.
Well, yeah, because they're all clean shaven, aren't they? Interesting as well. The other thing I was going to bring up was the Celeborn thing. He is part of a family, and in that family, there is that part of that elven family. There is actually an elf called Elmo. We're in that family as well, which I just wanted to point out. When I was doing the research, I was like, "We've got to."
Are you expecting Elmo to do a cameo in this?
No, I'm not. Imagine it. I can't even bother to talk about that.
No, come on. Let's get your
the Muppets, like the Muppets Christmas Carol, but mixed with Lord of the Rings somehow.
All right, so let's. So I think the only one we haven't spoken about now is Celebrimbor, really. But we have spoken about it.
Celebrimbor, yes.
So we know he is... He's the ruler of Eregion.
Mm-hmm.
Eregion. Mm-hmm. Whatever we were going to say. Right, can we settle this now? How are we saying it?
Cilantro.
Eregion.
Eregion. Yeah, so we'll definitely see him. I think that... he will, I know, obviously he's like really, really famous for creating the Rings of Power.
Yeah.
So obviously he's going to be in it. What we don't know in terms of the show is what, again, keep saying this today, but what point we're going to come in at him so, with.
Do we know, like, I'm led to, from memory, this is purely memory, I might be completely wrong. The rings were created like 1,500-ish in the Second Age. So like right smack bang in the
Yeah, and then also this, he creates the Elven Rings in secret based off of what Annatar
so that all happens kind of right in the middle of the Second Age.
Yeah.
And then everything else that's going on in this show, from what we're led to believe, is going to be happening in the closing end. So are we, do you think we're starting flashback and then we come, the season starts with the rings getting made?
No, I don't think so. I think we won't see any Rings of Power being created already until like season two, maybe.
No, it's going to be the end of the first season, isn't it?
You think?
It's going to be...
So then where does that put Sauron in terms of what he's up to and what he's doing?
Not even been cast yet, Mike. Might not even be in it.
Oh, no, I refuse to believe that he's not in this show.
Yeah. He will be in it, but... The thing is, it's because we're talking about a massive spoiler, because it will be Annatar, the bringer of gifts, yeah. Right? So he'll be there. Is it bringer of gifts? I think we just made that up. It is gift something.
Yeah,
it?
He is. The
Lord of Gifts.
Lord of Gifts.
And
nobody trusts him. Gil-galad doesn't trust him.
Yeah, he's going to be...
I don't think anyone really trusted him, but somehow managed to get himself right in there.
Because he's like a smithy, just like you, Celebrimbor.
But it's meant to be beautiful, isn't it?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
That's why I can't see him being that guy in The Rock. The meteor. I'm scared to say meteor.
As an aside.
I literally thought for a minute that you were talking about The Rock.
Yeah.
He's not in it, is he?
Yeah.
Who do you, just off the top of the dome, quick, who do you think would be a good casting for Sauron?
Okay.
I've got one. Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Just seen him as Grindelwald in Fantastic Beasts. I mean, and he's a brilliant bad guy. Yeah. He's a brilliant bad guy. So I'd have him up there as a Sauron potentially. Yeah,
yeah, I would. That's very good, actually.
It's good
because he looks kind of evil elf anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and he had long hair, like long silverish hair. It'd be good for the part.
It's just going to be an unknown, isn't it? Isn't that the whole?
But that's what I mean. That guy in the Meteor Man that we're saying.
The what?
He doesn't look like who I'd imagine they would cast as Sauron, that guy. Would you? All right, because
that Sauron. That guy is Sauron.
I thought in human form, though, he resembled, he resembled an elf, a beautiful elf, kind of, as Annatar. That's what I would have thought. All of the kind of illustrations you see online of him as Annatar are like red-eyed, pale-skinned, like... Mm. White hair, beautiful.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds like a monster.
That pale skin, red-eyed beauty. We shall, we'll move things on to, back to Deej. You ready, Dijon? It's your favourite time of...
Oh, we're ready.
It's your favourite time of...
It's
everyone's favourite time of the episode.
So it's the return of...
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
That's
excellent. Yeah, brilliant.
Wow, we nailed it.
A recurring segment here. I am on a sort of pursuit to try and bake everything, bake and make everything from Middle Earth. In this Middle Earth cookbook that we are exploring week in, week out. Not that we're a weekly podcast at the moment, but. When we can.
Month in, month out.
So, if you remember rightly, I'm going to start off with a bit of a clue, a segment from the book, and hopefully that'll give you a bit of a kind of clue of where this is kind of placed, where it comes from, and what it is. So remember, I will need the book and the name of the food item, please. So I'm going to kick you off with your first clue. Far over the misty mountain cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must away ere break of day to find our long forgotten gold.
Okay, thanks for that, dude. Yeah, thank you. So that entire song was our clue.
That's clue number one.
Okay.
Misty Mountain.
Yeah. He mentioned the Misty Mountains there, yeah.
It's Erebor.
Yeah, it's Erebor.
It's Erebor.
Yeah.
So, remember, we're not trying to guess the location here. We're trying to guess the book, the scene.
We're
in the wrong segment. We're in
the wrong segment.
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. Yeah, brilliant.
The Hobbit.
And they sing that song.
When
is that bit?
Are they in?
They sing that bit. When they are, he might have me here.
When do they sing that in this? Because I'm going by the film, but I don't know when they sing it in the book. Or so, likely scenarios is where are they? Where they're eating? They are in Rivendell. No, they could have been in Dale.
So you've got the book. I'll move on to the next clue.
Go on, then.
So Tolkien described it as a biscuity type of food that was supposed to sustain you for very long journeys.
It's Lambus bread.
Lambus bread.
No, it's very similar to Lambus bread. It's not Lambus bread. It was said to have been slightly less tasteful.
Well, I don't know the specific names of foods in the books.
Meant to be the experts, gents.
Slightly less tasteful than Lambus bread.
Yeah.
I thought right. Lambus bread looks...
Yeah, is it Lambus bread meant to be like a... tasteless.
Yeah. From what I've read, no, it's meant to, it's, you know, like the elves would. Elves wouldn't be like eating something rubbish.
If I'm having
to
guess the name of a specific food type, I will bow out. I only know Lambda's bread. Really.
Well, you're leaving us to it, are you? Is there a third clue?
So this particular food was eaten by the dwarves on their journey to the Lonely Mountain. So it, in a similar way, it sustained them to what Lambus bread would do to
it's
an
in,
elf.
It's when they're in oh god, what's the bloody town called?
What town?
Lake Town.
Lake Town.
When they're at his house.
But I know. But do you know the name of any other food?
Oh, I've got to name the bread. I've got to name
the food. Yeah.
No, I thought it was. You got to say exactly where it is in the book. Well, that was the second.
that's
what we did last week.
We named the book and whereabouts it was in the book.
Okay.
It? Not the actual thing we're eating.
No, do you know what, Deej? I'll play. I think it's called, and this is because I actually snuck a bit earlier in the kitchen, Raisin Bake.
You're kind of in the right sort of, you know.
Elven Raisin Bake.
No, I'll tell you the name of the food. Fair enough, you've got the book, you've got the location. So the food name is actually Cram. So Cram was the dwarves' version of Lambus bread. And, you know, in a similar way to the elves would eat Lambus bread to sustain them for a few days.
Yep.
It was that sort of what thing of take one bite and it will fill you for days and fill you for a journey. It was an energy bar for the dwarves.
Yeah.
I've actually made some, gentlemen, for you to sample. So I'll take my headphones off and I will bring over the cake stand.
Let's have some
cram.
Looks
cram-alicious.
Okay. I'm just going to get this one here.
Do we? How long should this sustain me for, dude? Shall I have one to myself?
It could probably sustain you for a couple of months.
Right.
This could take me all the
last meal I'll have, is it?
Wow, look at that.
That is absolutely lovely.
Thumbnail action here.
Can we get a quick sort of a review as to how it tastes and what it tastes like?
What is it like? Cranberry? Is that cranberry?
This is a place of raisins. There's a nut
nuts
in there.
There's a
nuttiness.
So yeah, there's nuts, dry cranberries, raisins in there, brown sugar. You kind of dough it together like a cookie, and then you
portion them out onto
a fruit and nut trail mix in a really dense cookie.
That's not going
to
go off either. Halfway over, you know,
no.
the Misty Mountains.
It's really nice.
This particular recipe does have egg and butter in it, so it might do. But I'm sure in
add a bit of magic to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on,
yeah.
When we get to Mordor, oh my God, it's going to be disgusting. Oh, it's shit in a bowl. Here we go.
Very nice, Steve. Mm. Very, very nice.
It was nice.
We'll add that to the cookbook,
mm-hmm.
which we'll post on social media and all that kind of thing. So, you know, make your own.
Yeah, we have the recipes for all of these on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. So if you like and follow our pages, Mouth of Sound Podcast, on all platforms, absolutely. You'll find the recipes.
Make your own.
Along with hilarious memes, I have to say. I really hardly back off.
All right, cool.
I've had some belt on stormers.
Well, look, we should probably think about wrapping things up there.
I think so.
But, yeah, I mean, some good ground covered there. I think some of the bits that we can expect to see from all those races.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just have to wait, won't we, and see if we were right or not, basically.
Well, this is all we've got now. I think we're kind of circling around what is the show is going to be about. So, and like I said, we're a bit flat about the elves, but I think that's because that's where they're going to do most damage, I think, in terms of cutting people and making up stories of other people and putting people where they shouldn't be. So I think, but it's because elves live forever, so what can you do about that?
Yeah.
But I'm really excited and yeah, let's see what we'll talk about next episode, I guess.
We said this off air, but I think like more and more they'll start to release new bits. Mm. I fully expect another trailer or two or three to come out prior to September. I think there'll be more kind of just visuals they put out there in terms of the Twitter account that's live, obviously, at the moment, where we've already seen them post the posters and things like that. I think we'll get just leaks and rumours and we'll get certain castings verified.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll just unlock other little things and then we'll really start to be able to understand what to expect from the show. To a point, because at the same time, I think it's really exciting that we are speculating and we don't know yet. Yeah.
I think if we find out that who's cast the Sauron, it will unlock a lot.
It will, won't it? Yeah. But it's a careful line that we tread at the moment because obviously it's really fun to speculate and think about like what the show might be. But at the same time, you don't want to do too much of that because then you just ruin it for yourself or you ruin it for anyone out there that's interested as well. So we'll leave it there, I think, because, enough speculating for one day.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to find us, you can find us on any social media platform, The Mouth of Sauron Podcast. So that includes things like Facebook. You like Facebook, Mike?
Yes, I run the Facebook page.
Twitter. Like Twitter, Ash?
Love Twitter, yeah.
Instagram. Everyone likes Instagram, don't they?
Love it.
You know? YouTube, of course, but you're probably already here if you're watching that. And you can email us as well at mouthofsauron.pod@gmail.com.
Well done.
Thanks.
And we are sort of patiently waiting for one of you keen fans to start up a subreddit. That's probably going to be waiting a good 3 years for that.
But make sure you do comment because we'd like to hear back from you. We want to make sure we're doing it right. If you have any criticisms or anything like that, let us know. We'll address it.
All that good stuff, yeah. Likes, comments, subscribes, shares, everything, yeah. Okay, we'll wrap things up there then, shall we, folks? And say goodbye. Thank you for watching.
This is the next episode.
Until the next episode. Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone. The Sauron, call your children of power.